In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumphs of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 108, Bad Example and Scandal. Just read the caption to the picture, and then maybe I won't have to describe too much here. Christ said concerning scandalizing children, quote, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come. But woe to the man through whom scandal does come." And quote St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 7. Okay, in the image, we see, I guess that would be Christ there with his arm around a young man. He seems to be teaching others, but in the background off the edge there, we see a man being pushed over a cliff with his, looks like a millstone hung around his neck, going to be cast into the depths of the sea. So, what is bad example? Bad example is doing wrong in the presence of others. Bad example is the principal occasion of scandal, which is occasioning the sin of another by any word or deed having at least the appearance of evil. If any help or encouragement is given in any way to cause another to do wrong, scandal is committed or given. Bad example and scandal are sins against the soul included in the fifth commandment. They injure our neighbor's soul, and so are worse evils than injuring his body. They do the devil's work and draw souls into hell. If by deliberate scandal and bad example we cause another to commit a grave sin, we are worse than murderers. One who hurts or destroys the spiritual life of his neighbor commits the sin of murder. St. Augustine said, quote, "If thou persuade thy neighbor to sin, thou art his murderer." Our Lord condemned scandal in no uncertain terms, saying, quote, "Woe to the man through whom scandal does come, and if thy hand or thy foot is an occasion of sin to thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire." From St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 7 through 8. Grievous indeed must scandal be to make our gentle Lord use such strong words of condemnation. Quote, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all scandals and those who work iniquity, and cast them into the furnace of fire." St. Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 42. Some ways of giving bad example or scandal are by indecent talk, by selling or circulating bad books or pictures, by singing improper songs, by dressing immodestly, by appearing in public in a state of drunkenness, by profanity and cursing, by doing servile work publicly on Sunday, by behaving indecorously in church, by ridiculing religion and priest, by writing against religion, by publicly violating one of the commandments of God or the church, etc. We should be very careful in our actions, however innocent, so that they may not be the cause of scandal to others. Quote, "And if thy eye is an occasion of sin to thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the hell of fire." St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9. By committing scandalous acts, a person influences others to do the same. This is especially true of children, who easily imitate their parents and elders. He who gives scandal is like a man who digs a pit into which others fall, break their necks. Parents who quarrel in the presence of their children, however great and the provocation, set them a bad example and commit scandal. Public officials who break the law by gambling or immorality give scandal. Older brothers who go to forbidden shows and other places or take their younger brothers with them are guilty of scandal. Older sisters who are excessively vain in their toiletries give bad example to their younger sisters. We should avoid giving scandal as far as possible. We even ought to abstain from good action of counsel if they may give scandal. For example, if one is dispensed from abstinence on account of bad health, he should refrain from eating meat before others in order to prevent their being scandalized. Otherwise, he should explain why he eats the meats. The aged Eleazar preferred to die rather than give the mere appearance that he was eating swine's flesh, which was forbidden by the law. He feared to scandalize young persons who might think he had gone over to the ranks of the heathen. 2 Maccabees chapter 6 and verse 24. What must we do if we have been the occasion of scandal or bad example? If we have been the occasion of scandal or bad example, we are bound to repair the mischief done. A public scandal must be repaired in a public manner. Even then, we usually cannot begin to repair the greater part of the evil we have caused. We must try our best to save those we have scandalized from the effects of our example. We must perform the contrary virtue, incite them by good example, and pray for them. We ought to be more careful about giving scandal, because of the difficulty, nay, almost the impossibility, of repairing the effects of scandal. We have any comments on that? There is a small section on the cross, which we can cover in just a little bit. I don't think the world actually pays much attention to the dangers of scandal today. Our children are given access to internet, their own cell phones, and a lot of evil is there. And I've commented before that the internet is very useful. There's a lot of good information there, but with every good thing, it is like a two-edged sword, and there's a lot of dangers that we need to be aware of. And it is a tool that we should be careful with, but we should be extremely careful in entrusting our children with these tools. Like all these material or physical tools, we teach the children their dangers and how to use them appropriately before we entrust them with them. They need to see how these tools are used and what steps are necessary to be taken to prevent any injury, and so it must be with our souls as well. I'm trying to find, you might say, the opposite of scandal or bad example, and obviously giving good example, but instead of teaching others to sin, we need to teach them how to protect themselves against sin, how to avoid the occasions, and what to do in these moments of temptation or bad example or scandal that is going to be given to them. It seems like it's almost impossible for us to avoid it these days. And so really, I think we need to give the example of being interiorly recollected and having custody of our eyes and controlling our thoughts and our words. And I think really parents are going to have perhaps a lot more to answer in scandalizing their children than strangers, because they do a greater evil, I think, because they are under obligation to love these children and not hate them, and to help them to get to heaven, not lead them into hell. And so I think the scandal that parents give, the bad example that parents give, is more dangerous than those of outsiders, and we need to be aware of that, especially parents, but everyone must be aware of giving scandal, and not just to children, but to everyone around us. And it seems that there are individuals out there who truly want to destroy souls, and they mock religion, they mock God, and we need to be aware of that and on our guard against that in so many occasions. And I think one of the perhaps most dangerous is in young couples who are dating. They often will lead each other into sin, and I've commented, I think, on many, probably every couple that I prepared for marriage, that when they lead each other to sin, that is not love. That is lust, and that is sinful, and what they are showing is that they do not love one another, but they actually hate one another. That by leading each other into sin, they are proving themselves to be enemies of each other, and not truly loving one another. I think that's all the commentary I have, unless we have another question or comment. Right. If not, then we will...
What exactly is servile labor?
Servile labor is labor that you would hire someone to do for you. And it's very difficult to describe and put it down, you know, is this or is this not labor or servile labor. But, you know, mowing the lawn might be your recreation. and since we're not mowing it by hand, and we generally have a lawnmower, how much work is put into it. But generally we would consider, you know, the yard work, landscaping, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. And again, all of these things, we have such conveniences today that it's difficult to classify doing the laundry as servile work, because how difficult is it? You pick up the clothes, put them in a washing machine, and push the button. It's not like you're washing clothes by hand. It is, I think, more in our intentions, our desires. Do we really wish to comply with God? I don't want people to become scrupulous, but I think on the other hand, we need to take seriously that Sunday is not just a day of rest, but it is a day to worship God. And that needs to take, I think, really the front and foremost part of our day on Sundays and holy days of obligation. And then accompanied with that is that we avoid that servile work. And if we must engage in servile work, or what appears to be servile work, we should try to let those around us understand that we are not technically performing servile work, but this is for our recreation. Or if this is servile work, then we are doing it because of the necessity that we are under. The occasion has demanded that we do this. Okay, we'll continue. There's just a short section left here. It looks like they ran out of text for the bad example and scandals. So we have a section here with the cross, and it shows an image of several different types of cross: the Latin cross, the Greek cross, the Celtic cross, the Eastern cross, patriarchal cross, Tau cross, and St. Andrew's cross. And I'll read below that. It says, the crucifix is a symbol of the redemption and of Christianity in general. The crucifix differs from a cross in that it has on it an image of Christ's body. Every home should have a crucifix displayed in a prominent place. The symbol INRI at the top of the crucifix is made up of the first letters of the Latin inscription meaning Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Pontius Pilate ordered this inscription on a tablet placed on the cross over Jesus' head. It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Most common forms of the cross are the Latin cross, the Greek cross, the Tau cross, the Celtic cross, and the archiepiscopal or patriarchal cross. The Latin cross is the most common, what we almost always see. The Greek cross has four arms of equal length. The tau cross resembles the letter T. It is called tau because that is the Greek word for our letter T. The Celtic cross has the arms connected by a circle. The archiepiscopal or patriarchal cross has two crossbars. Another variety called St. Andrew's cross is in the form of the letter X and is so called because the Apostle Andrew was put to death on such a cross. You'll often see various forms of the cross, and that gives us an explanation of what they look like. We have no other questions or comments. We will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.